Okay, now since everyone's here, we may start the session now. So can everyone hear me? Okay. So today my topic is the online and offline analytics on Cassandra in eBay. And the session is presented on behalf of my colleague, Liu Yi, who is a PMC member of Apache. And I will introduce some problems we met for online and offline analytics on Cassandra and the solution we developed to solve the problem. The main agenda includes, first I will introduce a brief background, and second I will have a brief introduction of related Cassandra internals, and I will have a deep dive into the implementation details of our tool, and we will have a quick start to use the tool for analytics. And at last, we will have a section for Q&A. First, it's background and who we are. We are eBay traffic and product ads team that supports feed system and paid social recommendation engine for eBay paid internet marketing. And the feed system mainly maintains our item catalogs for online advertising. And the recommendation engine is a recommendation system for targeting users on Facebook. So our main partners are Google, Facebook, Bing, and etc. Brief introduction about Cassandra. Cassandra is a high availability, good scalability, a big table. It has good read and write performance with configurable consistency, but it not natively support for scan operations like count, group, goodbye, etc. So what do we use Cassandra for? First, as most of the cases, we do serve, insert, delete, update queries to build the live item snapshots and to store recommendation history data and to maintain key value stores. The live item store, live item snapshot is used to check item status and store item attributes for all live items on our partners. It could be as large as live item snapshot on eBay sites. The recommendation history data is also large, that it contains recommendation history for each user. Analytics. We want to do to conduct on Cassandra is to for core metrics. For example, like how many items are being updated per day. It not only help us to better monitoring on key attributes, but also help us better understand the business, the data, and better support our business. So moreover, we also want to use the table as a trigger table for downstream Spark jobs, maybe to conduct functions like join. And it will bring us more possibilities to use Cassandra. So here's our cluster. Our cluster has 30 nodes, and with each node, it has 16 cores and 100 gigabyte memory and 1.2 terabyte SSD with 20 to 70,000 I/O per second. And the read-write throughput has average of 30,000 per second with peak 100,000 per second. We have equal read and write throughput, so it's both read heavy and write heavy. Our data size is approximately 8 to 10 terabytes. So first, we use Spark to do online analytics. So for online analytics using Spark, it has both pros and cons. For pros, we have the API to use Spark to do online analytics on Cassandra is easy to use. And we don't have no extra work to prepare data is needed. And for cons, there are several cons for using Spark to do online analytics. For example, operations like Foscan take long time. We did a test on our cluster that a simple group by and count on a table that is with size like 3 terabytes takes more than 10 hours to finish. The latency is a little bit too long for us if we want to do several times per day. So second, it also causes cluster overload. We all know that it is not an easy job for Cassandra to do scan. And third, it also pollutes in-memory cache that leads read performance become much worse. We all know that Cassandra read performance highly relies on the hit rate of Bloom filter or caches in the memory. Okay, so there is a Jira in the community that is indicating about this problem. The issue is to add ability to snapshot data as input to Hadoop jobs. And the conclusion of the issue is closed as not a problem, as they are not planning to extend Cassandra for Hadoop connectors in future. But companies like Netflix or us face the same problem. So it is a common problem in the industry. So the main problems we are facing, first, Cassandra don't natively support scan operations or Hadoop connector, which is essential for analytics. Second, online analytics using Spark is not an ideal solution in some of our use cases. And there's also no good tools to complement Spark connector. So our solution is to develop an open source tool to support Cassandra table to Hadoop table transformation. And the detailed solution contains several steps. First is to, we all know that Cassandra uses SS tables to store data on local disks. And first step is to upload SS tables on local disk into HDFS in parallel. And second, transform Cassandra table to a Hadoop table using our tool. And so the transform table could be used for MapReduce or Spark jobs efficiently, directly, and with no impact to Cassandra cluster. Our solution overview is like this. We have local access tables on local disk. And we can have our snapshot upload to HDFS. And then we do the transform from access tables on Hadoop and to transform to Hadoop table. So logically, Cassandra table will be transformed to Hadoop table. After that, the downstream offline analytics can be easily applied on that. We can even run join on the snapshot data. The suitable use case for the tool is first, if the use case requires low latency and high throughput, read and write throughput, performance. And second, if the use case requires offline analytics on the same snapshot of data. I want to have a little explanation for this one. Some use cases may prefer maintaining one snapshot of data to prevent data inconsistency between two or more snapshots. For example, we may maintain a snapshot in Cassandra, and meanwhile we can maintain another one on each base, this case don't need our tool, but have to either do transaction for updating both two snapshots and or handle inconsistency problem between two snapshots. Anyway, this is a problem that is out of our scope. So if the use case is to maintain the same snapshot of data in Cassandra, then it could be benefit to from our tool. And the third, if the use case found each base cannot satisfy the requirements of random read and write performance. We all know that each base don't meet, don't have as good performance as Cassandra's random read and write, because it by nature stores data on in each files on HDFS. And next section, I will have some brief introduction about some related Cassandra internals, like how Cassandra handles read and write requests. First, Cassandra write. When Cassandra receives a write request, it first unlocks data in the commit log. And in the meantime, it also writing data to memtable. And after the memtable size reaching a configurable limit, then it is flushed to SS table. Okay, so for SS table, there are some different components on the local disk. First is data.db. It is SS table data. And second is primary index, index.db. It is the index of the row keys with pointers to the positions in the data file. And the bloom filter, filter.db, a structure stored in memory that checks if row key exists in the memory table before accessing SS tables on disk. And compression information, a file holding information about compressed data length, chunk of size, and other compression information, and statistics. Okay, so there are the three kinds of yellow-colored component files are needed for our tool, and others we don't care. There are more component files like digest, CRC, SS table indexed, summary, etc. We don't need them for our tool. Okay, so Cassandra read. When Cassandra receives a read request, it first checks the memory table, and then it checks row cache if enabled, and then it checks bloom filter, and checks partition key cache. If it exists in the partition key cache. It checks partition key cache if enabled, and goes directly to the compression offset map if a partition key is found in the partition key cache. Or it checks the partition summary if not. If the partition summary is checked, then the partition index is accessed, and it locates data on disk using the compression offset map. Finally, it fetches data from the SS table on disk. So in this section, I will have some deep dive into the implementation details of our tool. Our tool mainly contains three components. First is SS table uploader. The SS table uploader uploads SS table from local disk to HDFS. And second, it is an index builder to build index on HDFS. Actually, it is a MapReduce job. And then third, it is SS table to Hadoop table transformation. It transforms table from SS table to Hadoop table. And for the first component, SS table uploader. In current version, we support any tools to upload SS tables to HDFS in parallel. We can see from the picture that for each node on local disk, we only cares about data.db, index.db, and compressinfo.db. And we can use any tools, including PSSH, Ansible, and any other useful tools to upload SS tables to HDFS. And for the SS table file schema, it constructs of key space and column family, and version, generation, and component. Component can be data, index, filter, compressing for exception. And the next component is to build split index for SS tables. The second component the SS table could be splittable, and the large SS table file can be handled by multiple map tasks in parallel. We build the split index by parsing index.db file. The newly created split index files have a suffix with split index. The files will be used for transform SS tables in parallel. So each split will be handled by each MapReduce task. For some source code from the tool, this is the build index main job, and we can see that there's no reduce task needed, just mappers. So it is critical for SS table in index input format. The detail of SS table index input format is like this. It extends Hadoop file input format class, and it has three functions. All of them overrides the corresponding functions of file input format. The first one is splittable. Since the index file is too small, so we don't need to split it, so it's set as false. And the second, list status, it gets all index DB from input directory. And the third, create record reader, it creates corresponding SS table index record reader. So SS table index record reader, it has private members, like first split size. We define split size as 256 megabyte, and the scanner to scan the index.db file. And for this part, we need to skip promoted index when scan. What is promoted index? It is for an extremely long row. When we need to find a specific range of columns, just finding the beginning of the row is not efficient. So the promoted index was added, which samples the row at blocks and gives the column name range for each block. Anyway, it is not something we used for our tool, so we need to skip those part. And we also have a long writable pair for start and index of SS table split. And we also have other private members as FS data input stream, file, and file length offset, data file dance, etc. The public members, there are several public members here. And first is initialize. It initializes all the private members of SS table index record reader. And next is next key value. It is a function that we will explain in detail later. And get current key to get a split file path, and get current value to get start end of SS table split, get progress to get the input stream progress, and close the input stream progress. So for the next key value function, we explain here. First, it sets end equal to offset and starts scanning. When the distance between the end and the offset equals to the configured split size, it stops. Or when it reaches the end of the file, it stops and return the pair of start and end index of the split. So now we can get the we can have the SS table in split index built. And the third component of our tool is to transform SS table to Hadoop table. It has index table in index.db here. Index.db is sorted key value pairs, and the value is data pointing to the corresponding data.db. Okay, so it leverages index.db, compress info.db and data.db files to do the transformation, and handles SS table compaction, deduplication, and consistency using reducers to accomplish the transformation. The data, since actually the data DB is compressed into several chunks, so if the index.db, the data point of index.db point to the data.db row, it is pointing to the original position. So we need a compressed info.db to tell us where the compressed positions are. So it has a class from Cassandra source code named the compressed random access reader, which has functions like seek and read to target to the right offset position in a compressed chunk. So the main logic of reduce phase, we will explain later. It handles the compaction, deduplication, and consistency. The logic is as same as what Cassandra does. We just complete the logic to in MapReduce jobs in reduce phase. Moreover, to improve the performance, the user should estimate the output size and specify a proper number of reduced tasks. Users need to build a split index before running this job. And a short description to for the source code of these parties, SS table to HD to Hadoop class, it has a reducer class named the SS table reducer, which handles the compaction, deduplication, the consistency problem. And we also have SS table input format. And the output format of the job is just a text output format for now. In future versions, we will support for more formats like some compressed formats. So the core members of SS table input format, and it includes the, it's more or less the same as SS table index input format, but it has functions, more functions like get split, and it reads the, it gets the corresponding SS table record reader. So the getSplit function to generate the input split by reading the split index files with suffix dot split index is explained here in the annotation. And this is the detailed implementation of getSplit function. And it mainly generates the input split by reading the split index files dot with suffix dot as dot split index. So I will skip this detailed implementation for the function. If anyone is interested in the detailed implementation, you can refer to the source code later. And this one is for SS table record reader, it's private members. Something to highlight is the descriptor. It is an SS, the descriptor is used to for when an SS table is described by the key space and column family. It contains data for and a generation where the higher generations contain more recent data and alphabetic version string. And we also have a compression metadata. It holds metadata about compressed file. And we also have compressed random access reader, which we leveraged the same logic of Cassandra implementation, but we rewrote it by in HDFS IO. Okay, this one I will also skip this one. It is more or less the same, similar as SS table index record reader. We explained before. Okay, so here is the next key value function for SS table record reader. The function is to get the next key value pair, which is defined as byte writable and SS table row writable pair for SS table record reader. So finally, we get to the reduce phase. The reduce phase has the same logic as what Cassandra does. It mainly handles compaction, deduplication, and consistency. For compaction, it has detailed explanation of compaction from Cassandra documentation about how it works. I will, if you are interested in it, I will just explain it by its own words. The Cassandra write process stores data in files called SS tables. SS tables are immutable instead of overwriting existing rows with inserts or updates. Cassandra writes new timestamped version of the inserted or updated data in new SS tables. Cassandra does not perform delete by removing the deleted data. Instead, Cassandra marks it with timestamps. Over time, Cassandra may write many versions of a row in different SS tables. Each version may have a unique set of columns stored with a different timestamp. SS tables accumulate, the distribution of data can require accessing more and more SS tables to retrieve a complete row. So the compaction works on a collection of SS tables. From these SS tables, compaction collects all versions of each unique row and assembles one complete row using the most up-to-date version by timestamp. of each of the rows columns. The mechanism of compaction of our tool is exactly the same with what Cassandra does. And for the duplication and consistency, they work on each row for all replicas. We may configure the number of replicas by ourselves. And for example, if we have three replicas, and if we have two rows with newer timestamp 2, and one have the older timestamp 1, and we will discard the first one, and to dedupe the last two rows into a single one row of the snapshot. So this is also what Cassandra does, and we rewrite the logic to implement the logic into our MapReduce jobs. So the result we tested on our environment, we use a table that is with size 100 gigabytes large, and the row number is like 57 million, and it has 5 fields for each row. And so the test result is the time cost for upload and index build phase costs 3 minutes, and the time cost for table transformation is 7 minutes. And the Cassandra version we used is 2.26, but it also works for Cassandra versions that is higher than 3.0. And so similar projects in the industry, the design logic is somehow thanks to the inspirations from those projects. Well, why don't we just use them for our use case? There are several reasons. First, some of them don't support the latest version of Cassandra, and others don't support split input format, so the performance is not as good as us. A quick start for using our tool. First is configuration. We just need to set several parameters. First is Hadoop as stable SQL, and the key space, and the reduced number that you have to maybe tune in for better performance of the job. And for upload SS tables to Hadoop, we can use a shell script, maybe for now, to use a PSSH to do the job. And to build index, this is a simple command to build index. If you have parameter explained as input and output, it will do the work. And the SS table to Hadoop file transformat. Also, it is a simple command to do the job. It requires three parameters as reduced number, input, and output path. And so, conclusion. Cassandra don't support Hadoop connector directly for now. For those who want to use Cassandra to support their business, will also want to do offline analytics on it without affecting Cassandra performance. To solve the problem, we developed a tool to make it happen. The tool transforms Cassandra table to Hadoop table that will satisfy MapReduce jobs or Spark jobs. So the benchmark shows that the performance of the tool is good. So in the next step, actually the tool is just built in the last month. So we still have a lot of work to do in future. So in the next version, we plan to upgrade our SS table uploader component to use F device to alleviate the influence of OS cache for Cassandra nodes. I think that would be the most part of this session. Any questions?
So I would say it took 10 plus hours to do a query on Cassandra. What was it on Hadoop, or did you get to that point?
What was it to do?
Query, did you run it on, was it Hadoop?
Oh, we used Spark to do count.
Okay, but what was the time on the offline analytics?
We haven't do, because the tool was just developed last month, so we just did a test for 100 gigabytes large. Yeah, it's still ongoing. We'll update maybe later. Yeah.
So I have a question related to this only. You said that it took 10 hours to do a full table scan or some aggregations you told, right? But we are also using Spark on Cassandra, and we are getting really good performance with that. So I can see that you have 30 node cluster with 1.2 TB data per node. So that's nothing when we need to process such data. So it should not take 10 hours for doing operations like count and basic aggregations. So not sure what is leading to that time at your end, because we are achieving great performance with Spark and Cassandra.
Could you make your question a little bit shorter? Oh, sorry.
Okay, so I'm saying summary is that we are doing similar things with much more data, and I'm not sure what is taking 10 hours in your case. Is it a special use case, or just the basic count and aggregates like group by?
The tool helps us to transform from Cassandra table to Hadoop table. After the transformation, you can apply any operations from MapReduce or SparkJobs, like join, like group by, like dedupe, anything.
Yeah, that is okay. But why is I'm saying that Spark generally performs very well with such kind of use case. So do you have any special cases? Have you investigated why Spark is taking so much time in your cluster for just processing 1.2 TB of data per node?
Sorry, I still don't get your point. Maybe I will just offline discuss with you.
I think what he's trying to say, that 10 hours is too much, right?
Yeah.
Or just accounting, or just processing.
Yes,
now,
yes. Yes, maybe you are. Yes, we because the Cassandra cluster at that time is also serving a heavy queries from you know read write queries in peak hours. So when we do the counting by Spark, meantime the Cassandra is still serving to the heavy read and write requests, and cause the cluster overload. No, so it takes much long time.
So two questions on that. What do you use for your Spark cluster? Do you use Mesos, or like Mesos on the same, or do you have Spark on the same cluster as Cassandra? Just curious.
Yes.
Alright. Have you then considered having a distributed kind of cluster where you have a certain copy of your data in Cassandra itself on a different set of nodes that might help alleviate the OLTP activity from your analytics activity?
Sorry, what again?
I'm just curious, have you tried looking at creating a cluster where you have a data center which serve, or a group of a group of nodes, which is one data center that serves your OLTP activity, and another set of nodes that serves your analytical kind of queries. So you can segregate your you know, those different...
You mean we maintain two clusters, like Cassandra cluster, one for serving the the queries and one for...
It's technically same cluster, but yeah, different kind of clients coming to those nodes.
Different purpose. Okay, maybe in our use case, we don't have much so large resource, so we just want to just maintain one cluster to serve the input requests, and we want to put the data from the local disk to HDFS. Yeah. Otherwise, we have to maintain two clusters, and it will, I think, double the resource we use.
To that point, you know, you are having your normal data, you have your snapshot of data, and then you have your HDFS data. So you are having four extra copies of data. You know, so you know, maybe that also saves your data enough that you are replicating around. If you go with the Cassandra, you know, inter data center replication.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, maybe I will talk with you later in detail. Okay.
And one question regarding assistive utilities you are building now. So you are relying, your board must be very tightly coupled with the assistable format, right? So when you upgrade Cassandra, so do you revisit those kind of utilities? Like, how do you plan to take care of maintainability aspect of these utilities which you are building right now. And in 3, you have major assistable upgrades from changes in assistable formats. So in near future, when you upgrade from 2 to 6 to 3.0 and there is assistable format change, do you plan to upgrade all your utilities as per the new format? Because then in very near future, it will be complete rewrite of your code.
Any other questions?
What is the time taken to transform data from Cassandra to Hadoop format?
You mean this table? The transformation takes 7 minutes. For 100 gigabyte size. And the table has five fields, so it's not large table.
Now, if you extrapolate this to 30 terabytes, to your original problem, that was your original issue, right? Original data set. If you multiply this by 30, it might be, I don't know how much time you'll save by doing this operation.
Yeah.
So,
I think the map with this framework itself is scalable. So if you have more input,
no.
But you can. The point is not to affect
the cost
cluster, your online cluster. It has to stay online. So they, you know, even if this takes 3 hours, this analytics are taking spend an hour.
it gives us a feeling that they have chosen the hard way.
Netflix ran the same thing. They dumped it off and put it into a whole other system to do it too. Yeah, it's analytics. It's not, you know, real time type of stuff. Before he's done, trying to get it done. You know,
yes. The some examples we refer to is from Netflix, but it doesn't support for newer version of Cassandra.
Actually, think preempt stuff back in the twos.
Yeah. Okay, so that's it. Thank you.